How do you stay seen and sexy in a relationship where your partner's biggest love affair might be with the business?
I'll let you go first on this one.
When your world is spinning and you're about to snap, what's your emergency save us signal, and does it actually work?
I very rarely feel like the world's spinning, it's going to snap. But when I do feel super stressed out, I think that's the time to go to God in prayer. Like anytime there's chaos in your life, if you go to God in prayer in that moment and you recognize, you know, God's in control, at the end of the day, this is a short window of eternity. It puts everything in perspective. Regardless of what happens, I know that he's in control, and I go to him in prayer and I look for his direction, and that usually brings me back to balance.
Have you ever looked at your partner and thought, I didn't sign up for this? We laugh because never, we know we have. Never. How do you keep the heat in your relationship when the business is demanding everything that you've got?
All right, welcome back to another episode of the Scaling Together podcast, where we're talking about how we've grown and scaled our agencies together as a married couple. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about what it's really like to be married to an entrepreneur.
So getting right into it, first question, what's the biggest secret struggle you've never said out loud about being married to a risk taker?
I think the biggest secret struggle is you start to wonder to yourself, if you weren't married to somebody that were an entrepreneur, would you just be able to finish the day at 5 and, you know, do whatever you want, go to sleep without thinking about everything twirling through your head? I think that's probably, in my mind, potentially, what would that be like? How about for you?
For me, it's just thinking, I was nervous about certain risks that we would take in the business. The smaller we were, the scarier each thing felt, like this massive undertaking that we were doing and putting ourselves out there. And is this going to do well? This could be totally business ruining, which means life ruining for us if everything falls apart. But we've had two businesses that didn't do well.
Yeah.
And we had to come from, you know, literally our credit going down the window, like everything, losing it all, and then starting over again with these two other businesses, learning from all of those silly mistakes that we did when we were in college, because that's when we did those two, right? But now we're mature adults, we're responsible. And even then, we would take these risks of, you know, starting a business. And the first time we did an event, it was in a small room. It was only $350 that we paid for the small room to have 50 people in it. And that felt so risky at the time, and it was crazy. And now here we are, $250,000 on each event. And it's so less riskier at this point where we are. We're so much more confident and comfortable working in this zone than we were on that $350 contract. So it is interesting how life changes as you get older and wiser, and you learn more things and things become less.
I think it's also comforting, like you said, like coming back from basically being completely wiped out, life goes on, right? Like in the worst case scenario, life will go on. You'll figure out a way to survive.
Yeah.
And you know, that's why we take risks, so we can live a bigger, better life.
Question number two, how do you stay seen and sexy in a relationship where your partner's biggest love affair might be with the business?
I'll let you go first on this one.
It's funny because I feel like we have a few top priorities in our lives. First and foremost, God, right? It gives us direction. And number two is each other, making sure that you yourself is getting what you need, that you're working out, that you're getting healthy for yourself and for your family, and that we're connecting together. And then we have our kids as a priority, but then also as a priority is our business. So how we stay seen is really for all of the dating times that we do. We go out on dates and hang out together, just you and me. It's a nice, quiet, peaceful time, even if it's just a lunch that we get to get away for. That's a great way. Also, you would take a screen capture sometimes of me on a Zoom meeting with our team and say, oh, you look hot today, you know, like little things like that. And just winks during the, we're sitting at a conference for our intensive and you are on the stage and, you know, I do a heart signal to you with my hands and just like little tiny details that we do when we were dating, for example, that we bring into our relationship today that even though we are entrepreneurs and we're business owners and we've got all this stuff going on, we still do small things to show each other that we care.
Yeah. I think you said all of the right things there that I would just kind of repeat on, but taking care of yourself, right? If you take care of yourself and you feel good about yourself, you feel good about your energy, you feel good about how you feel, then you're going to be perceived as, you know, seen and sexy to your significant other. I think you do a great job of making me feel seen. Like when I'm speaking at an event and I do look back and I see you and we catch eye contact, or you send me a nice text message, either on one of my stories or just in general, that makes me feel seen.
Yeah. But we were just talking to Mary and Ricky Shockley, and they were just talking about the season in their life that they're in right now where they have little kids. Their youngest is a year and a half. And it wasn't always like this for us.
Yeah.
When the kids were younger, newborn age, when you're feeding them and just going through all the motions of like you were at the size of a house and now you're getting your fitness routine dialed in. You're trying to be on top of everything. And it's you feel like it's a struggle and you're in the thick of it. It's hard to feel sexy. So you do find ways to plug in and just the sweetness of, you know, blowing each other a kiss and sending a cute text message here and there, going on a date and stuff like that in the middle of it does help those seasons a lot.
Yeah. kids under two, oh, all bets are off, right?
Yeah. It wonderful time too. That's the crazy. Oh, it's a double edge because it is such a beautiful time when they're so tiny like that. It's just absolutely breathtaking and fun and exciting, but also on the other side of that, it is rough. It
all
is rough while you're going through it. Yeah. Number three, what's the most gut-wrenching moment when you realized the business was coming between your hearts more than your calendars?
I think there's always times like, you know, when you've got, like you said, young kids, when you've got chaos going in the business, when maybe you've made some decisions to say yes to too many things. And you start to realize, wow, we've taken on more than we could chew.
Yes.
And at those points, you have to restructure, right? The good thing is those things you said yes to, you can always rearrange, you can elevate, you can delegate, you can renegotiate things that you said you would do and make sure that there is a healthy balance between, all right, now we're focused and working, but we also have time, you know, to work on ourselves, work, spend time with each other, spend time with the family.
Yes, with all of our family commitments, our personal commitments to each other, to our work life of working out and all that stuff, we have a big tendency to take on too many things. Mm-hmm. And so what we do in those scenarios, I've noticed over time, is that we still try to commit to it as much as we can. Like when we say something, we want to make sure that we deliver on what we said.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is take that into account next time when we're setting up the calendar. We do this at the beginning of the year. We get that big calendar as a name for it that Jesse Isler came out with. And we roll it out on our dining room table and we get the kids involved. And we're like, all right, when do we want to go on vacation? Where do we want to go? What's the best season for that? Let's pick it out and kind of map out when we're going to have our intensives and what we do to connect with people that do what we do as well. And there's just so much training ourselves that we do and trying incorporating the whole thing into a calendar with the school schedule and all that stuff. So we have to remember the mistakes that we've made in the past and say, you know, we put way too much on our plate last time. Let's even it out this time. But it is hard when you're in the thick of it and you've already made those commitments and you're just like fulfilling on it now, knowing that in the future you will change.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
How do you keep the heat in your relationship when the business is demanding everything that you've got?
I mean, I think regardless of how much the business is demanding, we still have to make time to let each other know that we love each other, to check in, to go and do things, whether by ourselves or at least in the evenings once the kids get to bed, to keep that fire alive.
Yeah, 100%. What's one moment you felt totally alone even while in it together? I'd say for me, it's whenever there were business trips that you would take and I would stay home with the kids when they were really tiny and I was still feeding them. I those were lonely times because I was like, oh, I want to go there too. Like, I want to be in two places at once.
Right.
And so it's those scenarios that, you know, can tend to feel lonely, but we kept communicating when you were there. You call me when you're in the hotel and you're like, hey, this is everything that went. And I live vicariously through you while you were there. And vice versa. I'm telling you all the stuff that the kids did and all the stuff that you were missing at home with them. So, and then we get back together again when you get home.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are some struggles, man, through this whole doing business and life together.
Mm-hmm.
How do you navigate the emotional whiplash of wins and losses without turning on each other?
Mm.
I think that when we go through a situation, we're not the type of people that point fingers at each other. We're the type of person that falls on our sword. And so I feel like the first thing that you would say would be like, oh, it was my fault. This didn't work out because I did something. I screwed it up. And I feel like I'm kind of the same way too. Mm-hmm. And so if something happened in our team, we're the first one to tell our team, oh, don't worry, you know, we'll fix it next time. This is on me. As the leaders of the company, that's how we take it on.
Yeah.
It's something that we didn't delegate correctly or we didn't give clear instructions on. You know, one of those, like, if it's the first time, it's on us. But the second time, you know, of course, if it happens multiple times, then it's a different situation.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not go to each other and say, like, it's your fault. How right. dare you?
Yeah, no, yeah. I don't think we do. And I think it's also balancing the highs and the lows, right? Because there's, if you get too excited when something's going really, really well, that's not great, right? And if you get too upset or flustered when things feel like it's chaos mode, that all of that emotional trauma impacts your decision making and impacts your actions, which impacts your outcomes. So you just got to kind of keep a level head, even when things feel like they're going really well or going really bad, and try and keep an even balance keel. Of your emotional state.
Yes, 100%. And mixed in there somewhere is also whenever we do hit a really big win on something that we're looking forward to, like, oh yeah, it's finally happened, like an MRR growth that we had or a certain number of clients that we took on, whatever the goal, we hit Inc. 5000, like there could be something else also going on in the business, at home, like personal, like nothing is ever 100% perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so when wins come, sometimes life isn't all perfect and going on great, but knowing that you need to stop and still celebrate that win, because that is really important to do that, because you need to acknowledge when things do go right.
Yeah.
Because they don't always. So that's an important
piece. You're going to get more of what you celebrate, right? So let's focus on what we want. But we experienced this, and I've heard other agencies and other business owners experience the same thing, where specifically the Inc. 5000 thing. Mm. Oh man, we just ranked on the Inc. 5000. Well, that's based on a year or a year and a half ago's revenue. It's based on like kind of a snapshot in the past. And typically in the moment when you're getting recognized for that, I know for us, it was like, well, we're in chaos right now. Like it feels like everything's falling apart. I don't know, like if we should even celebrate this today. And you know, just keep pressing forward and know that like that's a win. You should celebrate it. Celebrate it for the team, and keep pressing forward.
When your world is spinning and you're about to snap, what's your emergency save us signal, and does it actually work?
When I very rarely feel like the world's spinning, it's going to snap. Yeah. But when I do feel super stressed out, I think that's the time to go to God in prayer. Like anytime there's chaos in your life, if you go to God in prayer in that moment and you recognize, you know, God's in control, you know, at the end of the day, this is a short window of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
It puts everything in perspective. And it's like, hey, you know what? Regardless of what happens, I know that he's in control, and I go to him in prayer and I look for his direction. And that usually brings me back to balance.
Yeah, we do that a lot when we're stressed out about something that's out of our control. We do everything that we can up until a point where like, now that's it. We got to let go and let God. It's true. It's situations like this, when you feel stressed out, what we've learned over time is that we try to nip things in the bud as soon as we see issues come up so that they don't get to the point where life feels like it's spinning out of control. Mm-hmm. And I think that comes with age, that comes with experience, that comes with wisdom that you get from the years of when we first started out in our businesses, that we probably didn't nip things and we let things stew, like, you know, the employee that we know that we should probably swap out and hire somebody else. We let them, you know, fester too long in the company and didn't make that good choice for the team, or that client that, you know, we know that we probably should have gotten, said, you know, let go or said we can't do business with them anymore, but we left them, you know, as a client for a long time, and it ends up becoming this bigger and bigger thing the longer it festers. And we just know now the signs as it comes up, like, okay, this is a sign that we need to let go of this person, this employee, this client, and move forward. But things like that. Do it before you spin out of control. Mm. Have you ever looked at your partner and thought, I didn't sign up for this? We laugh because never. We know we have.
Never have.
Yes, we definitely have. We've said it. I didn't sign up for this.
Well, you've said it.
I've said it. I've said it many times. No. I've said it for more like things in the business when I say it, but between you and me as well sometimes. But the reality is, and we say it, you know, in jest, but the reality is that we did sign up for this when we got married. Mm-hmm. We exchanged vows.
For and better, said, for worse.
For better, for worse. And so we're in it for the long run. So though it feels like I didn't sign up for this, it, you know, you figure it out and you work your way through it. Like any business hiccup that comes across, mm-hmm. you know that you are going to end up overcoming it. And just, it's a matter of figuring out what the solution is. Who can I contact? What connection can I make with a person who has been through this before? Hear from them and help me solve this. That has been our go-to in business and personal as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is going to God, mm-hmm. and leaning on verses that we've grown up with as kids, and what our parents have taught us as well. Your parents have been together for forever. My parents have been together for forever. So they have also been a great
role model.
Yeah, a great role model for how to do life with another person. Mm-hmm. Every day is not easy. Every day is going to be challenges and things like that. And so it's just figuring out how to make it all work. Mm-hmm. When burnout hits hard, how do you confess you're crashing without it sounding like you're blaming your partner for the wreck?
I think it's sometimes you're waking up early, you're staying late, working really hard, and you just got to say, hey, I need a break. You know, I need to take a little nap. I need to recharge for a little bit. Maybe I need to, you know, cancel some meetings on Friday and spend some time relaxing. I think it's just being open and honest with how you're feeling in that moment.
Yeah. Last question. If you were to do these two businesses all over again, would you decide to do it with me?
Absolutely. Of course. No, I think we make an amazing team, and couldn't imagine anybody else that I would want to do it with or get a similar outcome. And the fact is we complement each other really, really well. I think obviously a large part of the success is how well we work together.
Same, 100%.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on today's episode. Love it if you would subscribe if you're getting value from this content, and share this with another couple that, you know, maybe is running their business together and trying to get inspiration or trying to get insights. And we'll see you on a future episode of the Scaling Together podcast.